Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media.
Hey, welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and as always, I'm here with Jay Cranda. Jay, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. If you're watching this on YouTube, which we're going to have Sean on our podcast coming up here soon, because our YouTube channel is pathetic, and I would use the word sucks. And if I were a cursing man, I would use more, but I'm not. So, and my friends would attest to that. I do not curse, but I'm drinking coffee because I had a sleepless night. And I know if anyone's done this before, and I know Neil's, you and I have talked about this. If you get an idea in your head, you just go, you stay up and you go. And I had one of those nights, and it's going to kill me. And my wife's probably going to be like bugged at me because around 7 p.m. I'm going to like want to die. But anyways, I'm excited to be on the show. There's so many things going on. We were kind of talking, and we were just reading about this brand new update. So I wanted to just kind of go down the list of some new alerts that we've kind of been talking about in the world of media, social media, tech. And then we want to get into this big topic of sports media and really what can specifically even like the NBA free agency, some of the trends that are happening in media teach us the church. And so first off, let's talk about Facebook. Facebook released this brand new feature with their news feed. And so it's something about the idea of that you're going to be able to control more of your content. And so I know you've experienced this, Niels, and anybody who's done any type of advertising or building up a page with your church's page, you guys have tons of likes, but they've kind of gotten some bad feedback in the last couple of years because they limited the amount of people that can see your content.
Right, right. What, and I think that where Facebook is so wise with all of this is they think about the end user more than they think about the marketing. So now they're a for-profit business. They're thinking about marketing, but they know the better engaged the end user is, the better opportunities there will be for marketers at the end of the day. So they will always have that platform. And what Facebook has always done so well is really think about how can they create a better experience for their user. And so what they've created with their newsfeed is you can even more or better customize your newsfeed. And I think that's what people are always wanting. And I think that's what you're seeing with the business pages that they decreased because people want to hear from their friends more than they want to hear from a business. Now, they do want to get some news and information from businesses and engage in some ways with celebrities and others. But Facebook knows they primarily want to hear from their friends. But you can now even more customize that newsfeed. And the newsfeed, that's the bread and butter of Facebook. And so as you customize that, it's awesome.
And what it feels like, and there's going to have to be, the community's going to have to play with it. People are going to have to get used to it. But I feel like what it's going to do is as churches, what you're going to have this big push. I feel like that will be wise that you're going to want to tell your community to make sure that they prioritize your newsfeed. So that means that your content doesn't get lost in all the other stuff. And so there'll probably even be this rebranding of what you say, potentially. It won't just be like it. It might be like, hey, like it and prioritize it so that they make sure they see your content. And I think that would be a big win for a lot of pages because the newsfeed is so cluttered now. I mean, it's still powerful, but you know, I know this, like I talked to my wife a couple of days ago about this. Like she doesn't even look at her newsfeed because it's kind of like, she has so many things going on and she doesn't even have that many friends like that she's following. You know what I mean? It's just junk. And I know for me, it's kind of like Twitter. Twitter, you know, I'm following 12,000, 13,000 people. I just look at my Twitter list. I ignored the stream. And so I love about this push is that it's going to give more power within the community for you to control what content. And before Facebook just made this decision, like, only, you know, so many percentage of your followers can see your content. Well, now if I really want to see my church's content, I want that prioritized.
Yes.
So I think it's going to make it a lot easier. So there should be this shift of, it feels like there could be this shift of like, hey, like it and prioritize it. That will be very natural.
Yeah. You know, and I think historically you've had to prioritize it. You just hit the like button, you know? So if you hit the like button on something, Facebook will prioritize you like this person's post. But sometimes there's posts that you maybe don't want to like, or you don't want people to know necessarily that you're following them all the time, or you don't want everybody else to like, ooh, they like that.
Like the Lakers, like you like the Lakers
page. You might be embarrassed that you like the Lakers page.
No. I said you.
Oh, that is true. I like to follow the Lakers so I can see what little they did in free agency so that I can have a good conversation with you. So
I'm going to cry.
So I was at Facebook a week ago with our friend DJ Chuang and really got to understand Facebook a lot better physically being there. But one of the things that was happening when I was there a week ago is they got a brand new logo. And most people don't even realize there's a new logo. The A and the E is now different in the logo. Now here's what I learned about Facebook is that they function in a constant state of beta. So they believe that their platform should always be changing. And so by the time you get comfortable, and you always hear people complaining like, oh, Facebook ruined itself again by changing this. But the reality is they're constantly changing to create a better experience. And sometimes it doesn't always work out for them. But I think there's something to be learned from that constant state of beta. I heard Gary Vaynerchuk say, we're going to talk about Twitter later, but he believes Twitter is going to die because they haven't changed fast enough. Mm. So Facebook is always changing, where Twitter, they've made some tweaks, but in 7 years, there's not much different than when it first started.
Interesting.
And so, you know, being in the church, I think, needs to learn that principle of we've got to constantly be changing because our world around us is changing fast.
Yeah.
Speaking of change, Amazon has a big announcement, and it's not really a change, but Amazon Prime is...
And you're a Prime user, right?
Oh, I've been a Prime user for a couple of years.
Yeah, me too. I'm a Prime user as well.
And I'm so like a Prime everything. So we in New York, we have Prime Now as well. This is part of... I get stuff in 1 hour here. But I watch the... We watch the Prime. We probably watch it more than Netflix, the Prime TV or whatever it is. You know, we have the Prime Music. We've got the Amazon Echo, which we can play the music through. So we're monster Amazon users. So we don't, honestly, we don't know what's going to happen. So it's happening July 15th, which is the day this podcast will release, that there's Amazon Prime Day, and they say it's going to be better than Black Friday.
Wow.
We don't know what's going to be for sale, what it's even going to be like. I hear that there's going to be like 15 minute sales. So you almost have to be like ready all day. What, Jay, if something goes on sale and is like a crazy price, what do you want to buy?
I just want to say the Wavos on Amazon to do something like this is awesome. Like they created their own day, which is amazing.
It is amazing.
I'm going to be watching. You know, the funny thing is I just celebrated like 5 years on staff at Saddleback.
Wow. Me too. I just celebrated 5 years, July 1st.
Oh, really?
Crazy.
Oh, sweet. Things we don't talk about before we start recording.
Yeah.
I got a gift card. They gave me like a gift card like to Amazon, which is funny. And then I literally was like, I'm not spending a dime until,
Amazon Prime.
Like I literally like put it in my head, which actually I think July 15th is my brother's birthday. One of my brothers.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty. Yeah. July 15th is one of my brother's birthday. If I'm wrong right now and I got that recorded, that's terrible. But I know he doesn't listen to this podcast, Jordan Cranda. And, but I, you know, a couple of things. I would probably be looking for, I want some better LED lights for recording.
Okay.
That's something I want. Yeah. I also want, I really want, I since I just, we talked about this on a previous, I have a Nest thermostat. I have a Nest cam now.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of do want now the whole smoke detector that they have, but it's like $99 and I'm like, so if they do anything on there, but I'll be looking at a couple other things. But how about you? What's some stuff that
you know that. You've got me geeking over the Nest Cam, you know, and so there's some other similar devices out there. So we live on the third floor of a brownstone, and anytime somebody comes to the door, you know, it's like, is it a package? Is it, you know, what is it? So it'd be kind of nice to have one of those like little cameras too, either that we could, and I don't know if you could do this where I could speak back to them, you know, and say, oh, just leave it there, or we're not interested or something. So I kind of liked that opportunity. So
there was that one Kickstarter that, and we were talking about is that you can go through the peephole,
right?
Which, you say peephole, I don't feel right saying it, but you know, you had a visual face of disturbed when I said that. And so, but I know that's all on Kickstarter and it's not mainstream yet. So yeah, I totally am going to be watching that day. Yeah. So I think this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
I think obviously retail, number one, retail online only, obviously churches should take aware of this idea of obviously having an online presence. Duh. You need to be thinking about that. If you're stuck in brick and mortar only, you know, it's going to hurt you. Obviously brick and mortar in person is going to be high value. the highest value, but you can start some kind of conversation and you need to take a lead from this because they're going to create a whole new, what if they create this whole new sale day around their birthday? Like it would be nuts. It's so much fun. I'm excited.
So, and the other things, even as I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking about an Amazon Paperwhite. I used to have like a Nook back in the day. And now I use my iPad. They're taking over the iPad. So maybe a Paperwhite. The other is, and I don't need a TV, but I feel like there's going to be some crazy good deals on TVs. Yeah. But I think what's going to be the big winner or what Amazon's really going to push is the Amazon Fire TV.
Yeah.
So I think there's going to be like a crazy, like $10 for the Amazon Fire TV.
Which I have one of those and it's, and I, we bought one cause we released our Saddleback app as well as I know Community Bible Church was the first on there.
Yeah.
And so I think we're the second, so, which is always fun.
Yeah.
And so as a good American, I hate being second, but you know, I love Amazon Fire TV. I think it's a great deal. It's actually, I was thinking about, I have an Xbox One and it's primarily for most of the year, a glorified, Netflix
player. Yeah.
And so I did just buy a golf game, the new golf game coming out, which shows my age. But, what I mean is I'm older looking, I'm young looking, but I'm old internally. And, pretty much I was like, was going to let a friend borrow an Xbox. Cause I was like, you can borrow my Xbox if you want to play this game, because I could just use Amazon Fire TV. It's a great device. And so it's really cool. I like the audible feature. It's fun. Even like I was playing, it was like Saddleback Church. You search Saddleback Church and you know, it pops up and it works pretty seamlessly.
It does work pretty good.
Yeah. I think that's a great thing. I'm gonna be after this now. I'm gonna be just looking unhealthy about on things on different deals. So next kind of topic before we get to our main there was just the story about you know Windows cutting like 7,800 employees in their phone department, and so it's kind of a shift. And you know, if you read up on it, it doesn't really feel like they're giving up on mobile. What they're kind of doing is they don't want to be so much in the hardware business. They want to get back to maybe more their bread and butter, which is their operating. And so because of their new Windows 10 kind of tile kind of system, they're trying to make it the level field where if you design something on a desktop, it can go into mobile seamlessly. And so there was a lot of great feedback I felt like from the rebrand that they did with the tiles. I really liked it. I thought it was sleek. But it kind of feels like they're moving away from hardware. They're not giving up on mobile. They're just trying to say that it felt like from the things I was reading, and you know, I want to hear your opinion, but they want to more empower the operating system. So maybe focus more on building that up and maybe giving a reason why, you know, people should be on that. And really one of the key things they found is that there's like, and I heard the phrase used, the app gap. Yeah. And the idea of a developer wants to only develop where there's people. And obviously premium, everybody wants to develop for the iPhone. And there's probably something on percentage of people that buy apps and spend money. And then it kind of goes Android and down. And so they just found on their Windows devices, there was this app gap. And the idea of going from the idea you can develop something for the Windows brand and it would go desktop to mobile everywhere, they maybe can shorten that app gap and give more incentive for developers to get on there. But I thought that was interesting that that's a big move, letting go 7,800 people and moving towards more the operating, getting away from hardware.
Yeah, you know, and I'm so disconnected from anything Windows that I don't pay that much attention, but I like that they're willing to at least cut something that's not working. You know, too many big organizations and I say the church space all the time, like we'll keep feeding something, you know, that's clearly going nowhere. You know, one of the things I picked up at Google is like I asked him like Google Wave, like how do you guys just quit doing that? And he said, we never quit Google Wave. We just merged that into Gmail, you know, and a lot of the functionality. So is even sometimes you just make a shift, you know, in the trends that you're seeing and the investment you made and you don't have to just trash it. You can pull some things out of it, but you definitely shouldn't keep doing something that's not working.
Yeah. So I love it. And
I'll never have a Windows device in the next few years as far as I can tell, but
I did want to highlight real quick. I want to give a shout out to Kevin Lockett. Kevin Lockett at 215.com wrote a review of our podcast. Nice. Which is really cool. And so he shared on his blog, you know, reasons why to listen. And thanks, Kevin, for listening. It was just really sweet to hear that. He wants us to talk a little bit. I was tweeting him on our social media church Twitter account, and he was talking about in the future shows, we need to talk a little bit more about volunteers and how do you manage volunteers with social media. So I just want to give a shout out to Kevin. Thanks. We love our listeners. Just letting people know that we thank you for everybody who's listening. And So, and with that, I do want to highlight our sponsor before we talk about NBA free agency and Twitter trends and what the church can learn. This isn't just a place for us just to talk, but we're gonna do that. Yeah. I want to highlight our video courses that we have. I just did one with our friend Kenny, and you can learn more about it at socialmediajumpstart.tv. And it's a couple week course. Email course, and it's all about getting a jump start, kind of a before even one-on-one course of how to do social media. And it's a great resource you can send to your team to train them. And we hit all the major social media channels. It's free. Go to socialmediajumpstart.tv. I'll give a link in the show notes. And I want to highlight, Neil's yours as well, the church technology guide. It's church technology.guide.
That's right.
And so go to church technology.guide. You've released, I think, two courses now, right?
Two courses, about to release the third.
Yeah. You're about to release the third. What's the third on?
Our websites, church websites. Oh,
sweet. I want to encourage you to do that. It's sweet. You go there. He did the promo video is awesome because you're you're down in New York at
Grand Central Station,
which I love. And so quick, simple, straightforward video courses that kind of give you a robust. So go to churchtechnology.guide or socialmediajumpstart.tv to learn more. And I've got all these URLs in my head that I keep signing. So anyways, let's get to the meat of this.
Yes.
So the reason I wanted to talk about this is because, you know, I'm a big sports fan. You're a big sports fan. You know, honestly, if I was honest, I would kind of go like NBA, and then I'd honestly say golf, then like football, baseball, soccer. Actually, soccer's probably above baseball. I don't know. I'm an Angels fan, local, but so I follow a lot of, you know, what I love about sports is that I can kind of mindlessly listen to it while I'm working, and I work from home, you know, manage my own schedule. So it's one of those things I can just kind of listen to, like a Colin Cowherd, you know, podcast and, or any, you know what I mean? Or like, I'm a big Bill Simmons fan, so I can just kind of listen and go. But what I've been really interested on is that we're in the midst of this NBA free agency.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because there's so much news going on, and really where the news is happening isn't so much on sites like Hoop Hypes Rumors or whatever, or Grantland or whatever. There's more of a digest of it. And like an analyzing of the trends, but really most of the rumors are being broke on Twitter.
Yeah.
And even you see this on SportsCenter, you know, there's live tweets. I was even listening to Ryan Rosillo has a new podcast, a new show.
Yeah.
Him and Scott Van Pelt they have their own deal now. And he was literally Ryan Rosillo had this thing, and I hadn't listened to his show yet, but he was doing this thing that he has this rule during NBA free agency that you have to check your phone once during the show, and you have to break one live thing. And the idea was the news was happening so rapidly that even as they were recording the show, that they had to get on their phone, check text messages, check Twitter, and see what was going on. Wow. And I think there's something about the church being a little bit more, and here at Saddleback, we use this fast, fluid, and flexible, and not wanting to get so, spend so much developing the high content, like the assets and all that. You need all that stuff, but there has to be a place for the church to be a little bit more urgent and just send things out, because on Twitter, there's a Twitter list that I follow, and I just recorded something with the Church Church Pro podcast with Brady, and I was telling him there's this Twitter list for Grantland writers. Grantland is a sports show, anyways, a sports online site, and those Grantland writers, all they do is break news, and they break it down, but that's where the news is happening. Like, that feed is amazing, and I think there's something here that the church needs to be a little bit more honest and a little bit more quick about releasing things and not waiting to be so polished. I don't know. What are you thinking on
yeah,
this?
You know, it's so tough, you know, because I think about we're about to move into political season. We as a church have dealt with this last election, some, you know, Facebook messages or Facebook posts that, you know, even the news got a hold of and then misinterpreted because it was just quick, you know, trying to get, you know, just some thoughts out there quickly. And see, churches need to be careful, you know, a lot of times with social media, but at the same time, you can't be so careful that you don't engage and that you don't just kind of be a part of what's happening in a live setting. And so you hear that with athletes all the time, like teams want their players off of social media because they're getting themselves in trouble, but fans at the end of the day are loving it. You know, and so you have, you know, so I'm a Houston Texans fan. Arian Foster is one of the most engaging people on social media, and watching him, I'm more of a fan. It adds to the game experience because I feel like I know Arian, you know, because I follow him on Twitter and I've never talked to him.
Yeah.
I've never engaged with that. It wouldn't surprise me if he were to reply to one of my messages. But I think through social media, pastors and not that pastors are the same as an athlete, but I think that people can feel a personal connection to pastors and ministry leaders if they're engaged on social media and specifically Twitter. I mean, I think that's where you're seeing with the NBA right now, this free agency season is almost more exciting than the regular season because you're seeing so much movement. You don't know who's going to end up where, but you can see those people that are free agents interacting with other athletes and how they interact with each other makes you feel like you're interacting with them. And yeah, so a really cool connection that they get.
So one of the things that, you know, that kind of sparked this conversation was DeAndre Jordan going from the Clippers to the Mavericks. And then all of a sudden Jordan is like, there's like rumors that he may not want to go, but like there was like this verbal contract with like very visible people like Mark Cuban and Rick Carlisle and all this stuff. And so then there was all these emoticons going on, like, you know, like Blake Griffin is tweeting emoticons, like he's getting on a plane. Chandler Parsons on the Mavericks was saying like, you thought my pump fake was hard to guess, you know, making cracks at DeAndre Jordan. And there was just all this tweeting going on. And then like Kobe Bryant was like tweeting, like, what's up with all these emoticons kind of coming off as an old man. And then he tweets an emoticon of five championships, you know what I mean? Five trophies. And so what I loved about it was there definitely was this engagement that was very real. It wasn't even happening on SportsCenter. SportsCenter is reporting professional athletes tweeting emoticons. You know what I mean? Like how crazy is that? And so I think to make this real practical as we wrap up the show.
Yeah.
I think one thing is a big thing on Twitter, Facebook, one way to get more into trends and to have more visibility is to engage with current trends. And I think with any brand, you're always going to be diluted in the newsfeed. We were talking about this earlier. Trends. But if you can engage in current trends, most likely your content's going to rise to the top. And I think it also, you can, and especially there's been a lot of things, even with things like, you know, recent Supreme Court rulings, you're going to see a lot of bad social media, both from non-church attenders and people attending at your church. If you can somehow through your social media channel educate people how to engage properly with any current trend. You know, even something with like the Caitlyn Jenner story, you know, there was a lot of bad witnessing going on. If your church could have somehow educated, somehow gotten into that trend and then educated, here's the right way to approach this with a culture and kind of that idea of, you know, reject, receive, redeem culture. And here's the right way to do it. The other thing is, I think there's something about this whole idea of churches somehow, maybe on the weekend you preach the sermon, the message, and then maybe you have a Monday through Friday, either your pastor does it or you have a Twitter account that does it, that maybe live tweets with emoticons, kind of the direct application. So instead of like, hey, you know, like, for example, like love goes beyond this, or love, you know, love didn't win, or whatever you want to do, but you kind of live tweet what that looks like and you kind of bring it down to a real level and you use emoticons and you kind of do it in a very personal way. And I think those are two things: engage with trends and then kind of do a kind of a live tweeting kind of thing where you can help the individual live out. Is there any takeaways that you want to kind of drill in before we end this?
Yeah. Well, I think that's great. I think have fun, you know, be a personal. So when you hear those athletes and what they're doing, they're having fun. You know, people love funny stuff. They like having fun. Emoticons has been, I think people have thought of it as like teenagers do it. It's silly. It's goofy. Emoticons are fun. You know, like everyone, like it's hard. Like even you say the word emoticon, you kind of smile a little bit. And so like, just have fun with it. And I think use emoticons, like they really are a fun use. Our friend Sean Cannell, and as we asked him to come on the podcast, I thought he did a really creative thing in using Twitter video. And so that's a trend that I'm seeing in a very personal and honestly pretty fun way to engage with people on Twitter. So I would say, you know, use emoticons and really test out Twitter video. I think it's a fun way and tool to use to better engage people.
Sweet. So I know we talked about a lot. Go to socialmedia.church to read the full show notes of any links or anything we talked about. Engage with us on Twitter. Thanks, Kevin, again, for engaging with us on Twitter. Use the tag SMC Podcast and visit us at socialmedia.church. Give us a review. Thanks for listening to this week's show.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. Stop by socialmedia.church for the show notes and to learn more about Social Media Church. Please share this podcast with a friend and leave a review on iTunes or wherever you may be listening.